Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And of course, with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Drag is the new spandex.
Hey Flamers, it's Oral and Pat.
What's going on?
And we're here for the recap of All Star Season 2, Episode 3, also known as Can I Go to Bed Now? Because
seriously,
I'm tired.
Whew.
So this week we did the big lip sync challenge.
Of course, because those have been such amazing challenges in past seasons.
Uh-huh.
This one was titled The Baddest Bitches in Herstory.
Herstory. How do you spell that?
H-E-R-S-T-O-R-Y.
Why? Because it's terrible. So we had everyone portray a great lady in Herstory.
Would you like me to run down the list of those ladies,
Please
Oral?
Please do.
Alrighty. In no particular order, just because I was typing these as I remembered them. Alyssa Edwards was Annie Oakley. We had Fifi O'Hara as Helen of Troy. Alaska as Eve, as in Garden of Eden, Eve. We had Roxy Andrews as Ava Perone. Ginger Minj was Catherine the Great. Detox was Marie Antoinette. And Katya was Princess Di.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about a motley crew. And you know, it's not really that... I mean, some of the girls just had everything that they could shine with. Like Eve doing this, like Alaska's Eve giving you Britney Spears VMA. That was smart. It was fun. Ginger's Catherine the Great had to remind what viewers who Catherine the Great was. I like period pieces, so it was great. She should have been Anastasia. I mean, because if Eve is there, they already opened themselves to mythological creatures who didn't exist. Yeah, I said it. Ooh, we just lost some listeners.
We're being boycotted by the alt-right now.
But there were just some, like Marie Antoinette, yes. Evita Perone, okay. I mean, who still watches Evita? Older gays, yes.
Yeah.
But it seemed like this was really out of touch, where you get some of these past challenges that were really like funny and smart. This seemed really disjointed and plotting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The lip sync extravaganza challenges are never really like things that come together 100%. Sometimes they'll work, like the Bitch Perfect one. All right, it was fine. It was kitschy in that way that Pitch Perfect is. Mm-hmm. So that was okay. But when you have things like the Glamazon Airways, whatever the one from season 7 was, mm-hmm. they just kind of feel weird when they try to throw all the different musical genres into one lip sync extravaganza.
Yep.
When you're doing an acapella, when they did the acapella one for Bitch Perfect, that worked because they kind of stayed in that same, like, and it was able to weave pop sensibilities in, where this, it just felt like they went all over the musical spectrum to try to cover all of today's pop musicians.
Okay.
Like, it started with Britney,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of, and then it just devolved from there. The girls didn't, they did the best they could with the material that was provided.
Yeah, and I think you could see the decline. And, you know, Katya got the short end of the stick. Let's just put it out there.
She
got
did.
Princess Di, who's really beloved, like Evita was, in different sort of, like, a lens. However, it's really hard to do. Like, how do you make Princess Di, like, funny and smart and edgy? Called her a slut. You called the dead woman a slut.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, there's not really, you know, you don't think of Princess Di impersonators because there aren't really. And if there are, like, it's totally like a British sort of thing where, you know, we on the States wouldn't really get that.
Exactly.
And I've watched a fuck ton of BBC for years. So, like, for me, it just seemed really out of place. And when you're set up to fail, sometimes you fail.
Which I wouldn't. The hardest part about that was that she failed in certain aspects, but I don't think that she failed in the lip syncing aspect of it. She had one of the better, more on point, if not the best on point lip sync,
mm-hmm.
where she made up 100% for Glamazonian Airways.
Yeah.
Because she fucked that up big time. She, you know, she talked about it in the episode where that sent her to the bottom because she messed it up. She was so in her head and she was able to break out of that. Yes. Should her costuming have been better? Sure. There were things she could have done. But, and I was, this is the one time I was so happy that RuPaul actually stepped in. Because they were kind of reading Katya about her, you know, sleeves should be poofier, hair should be more feather, this should be this. And RuPaul, like, literally stopped the, you know, in the editing, they stopped the judging at the point where RuPaul said, you know, Katya had the only historical figure where we all really remember what, and but I, when I say we, I mean our generation and older, because Di was such a part of our lives that we know what she looked like. We know what that iconic wedding dress looked like because we lived that.
Yeah.
You know, when you got the next closest would probably be what, Ava Perón? And that's even further back. And honestly, at this point, in the gay eye, you think of Madonna.
You think of Madonna.
You don't think of actual, like, pictures of Ava Perón. So when you're trying to, when other, like, Roxy look nothing like, I would say, Ava Perón, you know? And then you've got somebody like Detox who's doing Marie Antoinette in, like, neon colors, and she get, you know, they all get this leeway and this ability to, like, play with it.
Uh-huh.
And Katya, it's like...
And you can't. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, how? If you're not on point, like, you could go and impersonate Princess Di, they're going to read you for it, which sucks. It was such a no-win situation for her. It's such a bad position to be in.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of them, like Marie Antoinette, like Detox's Marie Antoinette, I like, but it reminded me of the Kirsten Dunst one.
Oh, I was going to say, I'll say who it reminded me of after you finished that.
Which is fine because I really like that movie, but it had this sort of like, she went, my visuals are neon and non-traditional, even though my song is very traditional. And I that juxtaposition, I think, saved her. Because that dress was hideous.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It was hideous. But it worked. And like you said, she got to play around with it.
Yeah, and I was reading, there's a, I've mentioned it before when we've talked on our full cast recordings, but Ariel Italic out of New York City has written recaps for Geeks Out, for Queerty, and now does her own blog doing the recaps for All Stars 2. And they're hysterical. Check, look Ariel Italic up on Facebook. It's just like the fonts, Ariel and Italic. Mm. And find the recaps. They are fantastic. But she made a point with the with Detox's Marie Antoinette was that it wasn't new or exciting because we just saw that in season 8 with Robbie Turner and still having that neon-ness of in that challenge, and then Detox, apparently Detox is all about the neons and the iridescent blacklight colors because he had the talent show with the blacklight paint, that blonde wig that she's wearing, because I don't know if you can dye your hair that color in real life. And then those eyebrows that...
It looked like harvest gold.
Sure. They look like I have just had a lot of, like, chemicals, and I just peed radioactive yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was interesting to see their takes on everything. Fifi did an all right job with Helen of Troy. She made that corset, which was really fucking awesome looking.
Yeah.
But that rock portion of it with the guitar and the screaming, I'm like,
I don't know why.
I really hope that whoever came up with this challenge got fired. Because seriously, I'm at the bar watching it with people and I'm like, what the fuck are we watching? It was such bad material for such a good group of drag queens.
Yeah.
And that was just, that was the saddest part about it.
I agree. And, you know, it just... You know, not that you're looking for drama, but there was no drama. And so how do you do that when, you know, I'll pause. I'll put a pin in that. So let's talk about the runway.
The runway.
So the future of drag. Alaska. All right.
It was Alaska.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. And that was one of the things I agreed with the judges. Or I think Michelle had said it. Alaska is an alien. Like, if you're going to do it, go all the way. Go even beyond what you normally do, because I think I've seen that look or a variation on that look in promo photos that she's done. So it wasn't new and different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, that's more like the future is now for Alaska.
Yeah. Speaking of Fifi, Fifi killed it on the runway.
Damn.
Like, you know, spoiler alert, she didn't win. But but seeing her come out, she's like, this is the elevation, this is the future of Fifi. Fifi's a cosplay queen. She's not
a pageant queen.
And I think that's really cool because everybody remembers her. And really, it was that 365 of drag that really brought her to the forefront.
Pinning that. Or, well, I'm going to take a pin that I had in that for later and bring it up now. I've been reading a lot of stuff that's been put out there. The 365 of drag was this year, correct? We're in the 360.
Yes.
You know why that happened? It's because of All Stars. It's because of a queen on All Stars that was kind of putting her down. And she did this whole challenge because, you know, they've taped this. This has all been done.
Mm-hmm.
She started doing all of this because of...
Girl, who was it? You can tell me.
I don't know.
Just whispering. Who was it?
The running theory is that it was Alyssa.
Oh, okay.
Because she wanted to show that she didn't need a YouTube series to remain relevant.
Oh, okay. So, well, that'll just stay between us.
Of course.
So when I looked at Fifi, I instantly thought this is something like right out of the Fifth Element. This is something right out of like a really dark gay version of the Jetsons.
Yeah.
And it was done really well. She was covered from head to toe in like blue and gold, which, you know, from last season is one of my favorite combinations.
It looked great. And apparently she made that that prop gun in her hotel the night before of like Gatorade bottles and cardboard or something. Like, she crafted that shit
and which you know makes me, because it, you know, part of All Stars is they don't do the whole pretend I have to sew all this.
Yeah.
Is that and the other.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get to see her create this thing that she pretty much made out of nothing.
Yeah.
Because as big as it was, and yes, the way she was moving it, you could tell it was light as fuck, but it looked sturdy. It looked solid.
If I hadn't read that she had made it the night before in her hotel room, I would have thought that was a prop gun that like was made for her, or that she had more time to create.
Exactly.
That was part of a cosplay piece.
Exactly. Because as soon as I saw it, I'm just like, how did she manage to pack that and move? No, she had to have made it.
Exactly. No, that's awesome.
Alyssa.
I didn't love the look. Those boots were fun, though.
The boots were fun, and I love the sort of like beaded thing that she gave us.
The beaded wig? The
beaded wig that kind of turned into a veil. Like,
yeah.
That to me, I really liked. And her Annie Oakley was, I will admit, like, was good.
Yeah, no, she definitely stepped out of her season 5 like shell. And one of the talking head moments that she had during the episode was that in season 5, she didn't want to play anyone other than Alyssa Edwards. Mm-hmm. That was it. That's what she didn't want to do anything else. And she really did step it up and do a great job. And then we have Detox. Speaking of your Fifth Element reference from earlier.
Detox looked incredible because what did I say? In a season with Roxy Andrews, be aware of the tearaway anything. Tearaway clothes. Tearaway wigs. Tearaway lashes. You never know.
Exactly.
But she looked amazing. You know what? She looked amazing from a distance.
Yes. Yes.
Up close where she kind of did this whole like duct tape sort of like texturing really threw me off.
I feel like it wasn't texturing. I feel like it was meant to be a certain thing and it just, that's the way it kind of came out. And thank you VH1 for giving us drag queens in high def where we can see all of this shit when they put the camera on them during critiques.
Yeah, because she looked immaculate from beginning to end. She looked like a Barbarella-esque like femdroid, and that was super cool. But up close, it kind of like from the face. Not to say anything bad about her face, but from her face, like her makeup, like it was just off.
Yeah,
it was off.
The back of the head, that like ball cap kind of material. Yeah. It looked like it didn't sit properly, which I've also heard through reading some stuff that they did not have a lot of time between the lip sync extravaganza and the runway. They only had like a half an hour.
Yeah.
So I'll give credit to that because you're trying to go from being in one set of makeup to painting yourself silver.
Yeah.
Like Fifi was a bodysuit. Most of it. So she had to do her face and all of that. And I'm sure the hands. But Detox, that wasn't a bodysuit. That was nakedness and silver.
But like I said, it was one of the top looks. It was up there with Fifi.
Ms. Minge.
Oh, girl. And you know, her outfit gave me Judy Jetson going to prom, but putting on the dress that she wanted to wear after she left the house. So, like, I liked it. I liked it. You know, I wish it had been more resilient and vibrant so you could see, like, everything that was supposed to glow.
Yeah.
Because I understand, like, that was the piece that was kind of bringing everything together.
Yeah.
But that hair... That hair that gave you, you know, 80s square pegs, you know, dyed and fried within an inch of its life.
Yeah.
Just really, I think that is what broke her look.
Yeah. I didn't like the bottom. When they would show the bottom of the outfit, it looked like really slutty, like, bikini, where had it been a wider cut bottom, I'd think it would have fit better overall.
Yes.
And then the wig, yeah, that just was
that chip
was not a good choice, but
it hurt. Hurt because I saw the vision. I saw what it was supposed to be, kind of like taking it back to PlayStation, Blasto sort of like saving the babes, but it kind of busted.
Yeah, it didn't work. And there's talk that the producers wouldn't turn down the lights on the runway because she had asked them to, so that way the outfit would glow more like it was supposed to. So, you know, there's always some work going on behind the scenes to make the show that they want to make. And, you know, it's not always anyone's fault in particular. And it just sometimes is what it is.
When it comes to Katya, I love Katya's hair.
I don't think the look was all that bad.
It wasn't. It was different. And I liked that it was different.
That's where Katya's mind goes to, and it is what it is. And I don't think she failed the challenge. She did a decent lip sync. Yes, she got red for her choices for Die. But overall, I don't think that she deserved to be in the bottom.
No.
It was a little tough this week.
It was a shitty challenge.
Mm-hmm. And they all did a good job with the material that was given to them.
Agreed.
And for the most part, none of them really bombed the runway. But at the end of the day, they do have to pick two people to be your top. And now that we're reducing the number of contestants in the field, now instead of getting a bottom three, we have a bottom two. Mm-hmm. So now when you're in the bottom, it's not a 33 1/3% chance.
It's a 50-50.
You got a 50-50 shot at going home. So our two tops, were Detox and Alyssa Edwards.
Yep.
Who I think PP should have been in the top instead of possibly Detox. Detox's runway look, slayed, but so did Fifi's.
Yeah.
And I think Fifi's Helen of Troy, regardless of the ridiculous rock and roll thing, was a little more entertaining than Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
But that's my opinion, and maybe it's shared by people out there, maybe it's not.
See, and you know, I really loved Alyssa's performance in the lip sync, but and I do like I did like her runway look. I just feel like Detox was more striking.
Yes.
Even though Alyssa's was more complex.
It was more Queen of the Night, The Bodyguard, Go by the Soundtrack, Track 9.
Look, come on, Soul System. When I saw it, I instantly thought Queen of the Night. I thought that for her and for Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable mention to Roxy. Because it was like a Wonder Woman Queen of the Night sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's something that I would wear. Not that I should, but I would. Fifi should have been in the top.
Yeah.
She should have been in the top. I understand that, you know, decisions have to be made.
Of course, yeah. And they want some drama, and mm-hmm. they're going to play it to be what it's going to be. And
yeah.
We had our bottom two, which were Katya and Ginger, the season 7 representatives.
Yep. Then we went through the, girl, walk over here to this couch. Now walk over here to this couch. No one's going to hear us over here.
Which, honestly, like, unless... So far, the first week was the only week where it really felt juicy.
Yep.
Now, because they've got this quote-unquote system in place to decide who's going to go home, it doesn't have that same, like, they're going to come over and talk. I feel like it's almost producer-driven, like, okay, we need you to go over and how are you feeling, mm-hmm. to try to get the tears and all of that to go on. And it just feels a little... boring.
Yeah, and that was the boring part. So let's fast forward, because none of that matters, to the lip sync, which was
Taylor Day, tell it to my heart,
tell me I'm the only one, is this really love or just a game,
tell it to my heart, ah! Can feel my body rock every time you call my name. I need you to produce this.
I love it.
Tell it to my heart. Tell it from the start. That's how I had my first car accident while listening to Taylor Dane's Tell It to My Heart. Driving to my job.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But
my biggest accident was to Jennifer Lopez, Let's Get Loud. I'll just say that.
But I understand. Like, it's hard to go against Alyssa and win.
Yeah. Because
she dances. Even though, like, the lip sync for me, like, her lip sync was just okay. Like, she has moves, and I'm not denying those. Like, she's doing splits and stuff like that. But, like, and while that is very dazzling, that shouldn't be the thing that puts you over the top for a lip sync.
For sure. Because
there are some songs where, like, it's not necessarily called for.
No.
Which isn't to say that this song was... is one of those songs. It wasn't. Totally could. I mean, 1 year, I went as the black backup dancer in Taylor Day and Sell to My Heart. You've seen the photos. You remember it, right?
I love it. Yes.
It was my favorite one.
Of course.
Was pitch perfect. Spot on. But I digress. So they dance, they kick, Alyssa wins.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of following the plan, she sends home Ginger.
Yes, because everybody thought, well, it's a foregone conclusion. Katya got the harshest criticisms on the runway. So she should be going home. And as the announcer for the, you know, the next episode set up to the surprise elimination.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, Ginger was the next to be sent packing and go pick up her statue from the workroom / deliberation room / this is probably where they sleep because they can't afford a hotel no more.
/ the kitchen for craft services.
That's why you only see that one part of the workroom at any given time.
So Ginger gets sent home, which is sad because I don't think she deserved to go because of her performance.
Mm-hmm.
But now, blah, 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 revenge. But what killed me is when the siren goes off or, you know, RuPaul's video pops up. It's like, hey, Ginger.
Girl.
Yeah. And you see Ginger's head turned and her Patti LaBelle circa stirring up hair just slowly rotates like a sundial. I lost it. Best part of the episode.
Oh, and she's the first one to actually not just be like, does this mean I come back or what do I do? She's like, oh, I'm coming back. I'm ready to knock Alyssa out this competition.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only one that's got revenge on the mind. She's like, I got this and I know who I'm gunning for. And we're about to hit the halfway point because there's only 8 episodes this season.
Yeah.
You know, with less queens, you get less episodes. And, and then we lost the door as well to walking out. So we definitely get less episodes. And so it looks like it's almost time for revenge to occur if it means a queen is going to be coming back in.
Yeah.
Because we only have 6 queens left right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting right up there, and you know the top 3 is going to be the last episode. So we're closing in, we're inching in towards the end of it all. The one good thing about, we talk about how kind of lackluster this episode was and the challenge and all that. Shit's about to hit the fan according to the promo for next week, because now the girls are like, okay, well, you broke what we claimed were the rules, and Alyssa, I don't think, feels that way. And you knew it had to eventually happen.
Yeah.
You knew this wasn't going to be nicey-nicey all the way.
No.
It's not RuPaul's best friend race. So now we're going to see how this all shakes out now that the alliance has been broken.
The alliance. The all-important alliance. So, like, with that lackluster episode, I literally give that episode a C.
Ooh, you're generous. I'd give it maybe a
C minus. I'll give it a C minus.
You give it a C minus, I'll give it a D plus. We average it out.
It was just rough. But next week, hopefully, will be something fantastic. So
I think it's going to get catty as all hell up in there, mm-hmm. which will then pave the way nicely for the
revenge
aspect to come into play.
Yeah.
So before we sign off,
huh?
I want to give a thank you to Ron for posting. I think he might have posted on my Facebook page directly, but after our last recap, when I was saying I don't love doing recap episodes, he posted on Facebook and said that he enjoys them and that we should do them for every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. That won't happen. Just All Stars is good enough.
Yeah.
But
until we look at the metrics and we're like, God damn it.
Exactly. And then we just have to have a whole new podcast called the Recap.
The Recap.
But thank you to Ron for that.
Thank you, Ron.
Don't forget, Patreon is out there and is our friend and your friend.
What?
Patreon.com/nerdyshow. You can put as little as $1 per month. You can do a one-time donation, whatever you feel like. And if you would like, you can earmark it and say, hey, Nerdy Show, this is for our boys over at Flame On. And then maybe we can get pizza one day. Maybe. And as a...
can we get sausage next time? Like, sure. Don't act like nobody wants sausage on their pizza.
We know you love some some sausage.
Remind me to tell you a story.
And a quick heads up, for anybody that's going to be in New York or the New York area on October 4th, as part of New York Comic Con Week, Flame On will be hosting a live and interactive podcast called Fan Feud at Rock Bar in New York City on Christopher Street from 8 to 9:30. $5 suggested donation at the door, and they are going to donate all of the door proceeds to the One Orlando Pulse Fund. So come on out. It's New York Comic Con Week. We're going to be there on the 6th, that Thursday. So if you happen to see us out and about, make sure you say hello, and we'll talk about it more, obviously, as we go through the next roughly month leading up to the events, and we'll see you up there.
With that, later, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. Flame On was created by Brian Pittard and is engineered by Pat O'Rourke. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programs, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com, and be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame on all your favorite social networks. Follow us at Flame On Podcast on Twitter and Flame On Show on Facebook, Tumblr, and all your favorite gay hookup apps. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.